You're listening to the Packernet Podcast Network.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
In the draft today,
got the safety stats that you crave. We'll scout them out play by play. Packernet talks, you'll want to stay.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Packernet Podcast. I am your host and resident panelist, as always, Ryan Schlipp. Check us out online, packernet.com. Find me on Twitter, pack underscore daddy. That's right. Double intro, sucker. Can't stop the train. Today, I am very, very excited to be covering safeties. I think there are a lot of really interesting prospects, and I'm very excited about kind of part two. That's why I'm trying to double up on these things. Hello, happy bonus episode, because I am behind and missed a bunch of days, and now I'm going to make up for that by just going absolutely insane recording a bunch of podcasts. We're doing safeties. Again, the plan we're going to do, so we did interior offensive line and safety. The plan for tomorrow is defensive line and edge, and then we're going to call it, right? Not doing wide receiver, tight end, not doing quarterback. They still exist. They're still exciting. Still love to hear your opinions. I certainly have opinions and hopefully can still refine those if there's time. But after that, I want to start digging into some stats, and there are some really interesting stats about some of these guys that just point in certain directions, kind of similar actually to interior offensive line, in which I kind of put them into two different buckets. You got your coverage bucket, you got your sort of box bucket. And we'll just separate them independently. And then, of course, obviously, the gem are the guys that can do both. And then, of course, both at a high level. Now, the reason that there's no first-round prospects, I mean, somebody could go in the first, obviously, but not a consensus first-round guy, is because there really aren't those guys that you feel really good about in both categories. Depends who you talk to. And honestly, the Beast draft guide here has a very different order than what we're used to, right? It's always, well, Kitchens has been falling a little bit, but it's like Newbin and Kitchens, and then it, you know, whatever. The top 10 today is Jaden Hicks, Javon Bullard, then Newbin, then Cole Bishop, Cam Kitchens, Malik Mustafa, Dadrian Taylor Demerson, Kalen Bullock, Dominique Hampton, and then Jalen Simpson. Now, I really want to do more than that, so I'm going to try to go as fast as I can, because at 11, we've got Oladapo. At 12, we've got Bo Braid, who I haven't talked about in a while, but when I did my safety run through the first time, big fan. At 13, we got Tyke Smith. So at least in the top 13, there's guys that I like. So, you know, with interior, we started from 10 and went backwards, because it's like, I feel good that we can get this done. I think I want to start at 1, because I want to see how far we can get, because for sure, we're going in the top 10. This is, by the way, Dane Brugler's draft guide again, that we're going off of his rankings. This is not, you know, written on a tablet, handed down from God or anything, but that's the goal. By the way, only one consensus second round grade via, I shouldn't say consensus, only one second round grade given out by Brugler, and that's Jaden Hicks out of Washington State. Then Javon Bullard, Tyler Newbin, and Cole Bishop are second to third round. Kitchens and Malik Mustafa are third round. Dadrian Taylor Demerson, Kalen Bullock are third, fourth round. Dominique Hampton and Jalen Simpson are fourth round. And then after that, it goes all the way down. He's got 23 guys that are at least seventh to free agent. Only one guy that is a solid second and no first round prospects. Before we officially get started, don't forget about FOGO. I posted up reminders and the link all over social media. Fill out the sheet. Just, again, do a mock draft. As you do the mock draft, go ahead and plug in what you said. It's just who's the first pick, what round, second pick, what round, third pick, what round. That's it. Go down the line. Most points wins the game. FOGO isn't just a restaurant. It's an experience. Honestly, I talk all the time about if I won the lottery, blah, blah, blah. I do. You know what I would do if I won the lottery? I would just never leave a Brazilian steakhouse. I would, like, pay a limo service to drive me home, and I'd go to bed, and I'd wake up, probably, you know, do the podcast, because I'm not going to stop even if I won the lottery, obviously. What else am I going to do with myself? And then right when it starts to get a little bit dark, start to feel a little bit, you know, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, limo comes and picks me up, man. Going to FOGO. It's just what we're doing. In fact, I don't know how it works as far as, you know, helping them to open a new restaurant, but I will plop one right down the street for me. It's the dream. Anyways, don't forget to ask for the FOGO 44 in the special request section when you make your reservation. It is just a limited time only, so if you're thinking about poking around, checking it out, make sure you do that, please. It is $49, by the way, in select California, New York, and New Jersey. I think Washington, D.C. markets also, but whatever. $49, $44, what's the difference? It's $5, dude. $5 for steak. Don't worry about it. All right, let's get started. Now, unfortunately, I don't have the Bob McGinn thing yet for safeties. I'm assuming that's coming out tomorrow. I don't really know, but I don't want another reason to not do the podcast and just sit and wait. So we are forging ahead with the Beast Guide, and we'll just let the chips fall where they may. Any interesting comments about safeties, obviously, we'll talk about it. So Jaden Hicks is the top guy right here. We've seen, as far as the consensus board, Tyler Newbin is the top guy since forever with some you know, Cam Kitchens competition a long time ago. Kitchens has completely plummeted. He's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 on the consensus board now. But, you know, the consensus board we've kind of been looking at for a while is Newbin, Bullard, Hicks, Bishop, Bullock, Kitchens, somewhere in there, with Hicks sitting as like a third round prospect. So kind of interesting to see Jaden Hicks as the solid top dog here. Jaden Hicks, Washington State, 6'1.5", 215 pounds, Las Vegas, Nevada. He is 21.7 years old. He's one of 5 kids, 2 boys, 3 girls. Parents are Lamont and Laura Hicks, both college athletes. His dad was a linebacker at UNLV. They co-own Game Changer Sports in Las Vegas with former NFL cornerback Rodney Rice. Jaden's began playing sports at age 5, including soccer, basketball, and track. Started tackle football at age 6, playing against older kids. He attended Bishop Gorman High School, a notable football school, where he was a 3-year letterman in the secondary. Played primarily as a cornerback, achieving significant recognition and stats by his junior year. He was first-team All-State as a junior, contributed to an 11-2 season conference title and a state runner-up, finished in 2019. Also played basketball and competed in track and field. He was rated as a 3-star recruit, number 73 safety in the 2021 class, the number 6 recruit in Nevada. Received a scholarship offer for multiple colleges, but ultimately committed to Washington State. Some of his strengths, described as having a frame of a small linebacker with cornerback athleticism, strong physical presence that effectively disrupts opposing offenses, effective in zone coverage, understanding spatial relationships and balancing between watching the quarterback and covering routes, demonstrated versatility by playing multiple positions on defense, notable for his ability to adapt and play in the box and as a deep safety. Weaknesses, needs improvement in tackling form. Could improve in reading plays and reacting more quickly. Limited use in special teams coverage, which might impact his versatility value at the professional level. No injuries listed, which is always a positive. Overall, let me just read the overall here. I got the linebacker or the robot doing a little bit of work for me, doing some summarizing, but I don't want to read this. Overall, Hicks is a rangy intermediate presence both downhill and on the back end. He offers a multidimensional traits to develop into an NFL starter. He projects as a scheme-friendly safety who should also contribute immediately on special teams, second round, number 39 overall. So I'll say this about Jaden Hicks, and we're going to start not intentionally, but unintentionally mixing in some of the stats and stuff because it's going to kind of inform my thinking about some of these guys. I don't like Jaden Hicks. I'm just going to come out and say it. The one redeeming thing that's going to be exciting to a lot of people is, you know, of the top safeties, he was used in the box significantly more than anybody else. So the third highest was Cole Bishop at, let's see, let's just do this. The second highest was Bo Braid at 33%. Jaden Hicks is 46%. He was used in the box. So he's a box safety, right? I mean, there's no disputing that. I just don't think he's very good. I don't like his movement. He has these big, long arches when he wants to turn around. I don't think he has very good straight line speed. Maybe he's just kind of a long strider where it doesn't look like he's fast, but he is. But the problem is he's a box safety that's not very good in coverage, but also struggles to tackle, and he takes terrible angles. There have been a couple times I've disagreed strongly with Brugler where it's like, I just don't get it. I can't say that this is like a crazy Brugler thing because Jaden Hicks is a relatively consensus top guy, but I can't get there, man. I don't understand the utility of a box safety that struggles with tackling. If you're going to be a box safety, you got to get guys down, man. And he's just not good enough. I mean, he's certainly not the worst, right? There's significantly worse tacklers than him, but he's not good at it. So it's just not, it's not my favorite thing. And he's not good in coverage. So, again, I always hate doing this because there's going to be recorded whatever of me just flat out saying, I don't want him. And then if we draft him, I'm going to have to go back and really dig and figure it out. I mean, let me elaborate a little bit more on the positive. He's built for this, right? Like they said, he's built like a linebacker. Okay, he's a box guy, built like a linebacker. You can develop him. Great. I don't like him. All right, let's move on to number two, Javon Bullard. Javon Bullard out of Georgia is 5'10", 198 pounds out of Milledgeville, Georgia. He is 21.6 years old. Youngest of three kids. Parents are James and Shonda. Originally from Eatonton, Georgia, moved to Milledgeville, Georgia at age 5. Started track and football shortly after moving to Milledgeville. Man, come on. Excelled as a peewee football player and track athlete. He led the Baldwin County Peewee All-Stars to the 2009 Georgia Bowl title. I hope we're going to do better than Peewee. We're really getting into the Peewee here. Qualified for the USATF Junior Olympic Nationals in the 2011 long jump. That's crazy. Four-year varsity starter in high school football. Also played basketball and track. Named the 2020 Player of the Year and earned all-region honors. Three-star recruit, surprising. Number 52 cornerback, number 52 recruit in Georgia. First scholarship offer was from Troy and had significant interest from SC schools later on. He officially committed to Georgia in August 2020, first from Milledgeville to do so in over 35 years. Imagine that. Milledgeville hasn't had a guy from... I'm so obsessed with this town. You just want me to say it 100 times, you stupid robot. Graduated early from high school with an associate's degree through advanced placement credits. Ooh, Goody, calm down now. You know, he likes them high IQ folk. Some of the strengths and weaknesses: strength, strong upper body, quick reflexes, excellent closing speed. Versatile player in football, played multiple positions, including safety and nickelback. Strong leadership and highly regarded in the team for mental toughness and competitiveness. Weaknesses: lacks high-end athletic traits and has a smaller frame for NFL standards. He was charged with a DUI in September of 2022, leading to a suspension. Prone to overzealous plays such as late hit penalties. Oh boy. If it wasn't for the DUI, I'd say he's perfect for the Packers. He's a very well-educated, very smart guy who likes to get kicked out of games for hitting people late. I mean, that's perfect. He and Quay and Wyatt, those boys can just go out just beating the crap out of like coaching staffs and fans and stuff. It'd be great. Kirby Smart, head coach at Georgia, described his hitting ability as like a little stick of dynamite. Oh, God. Makes me feel so good. Oh, you gotta love it. Various coaches acknowledge his potential in coaching due to his understanding and applications of game strategies. Oh, man, you gotta love that, too. He did miss two games in September of 2023 due to a sprained left ankle. Doesn't sound super serious. He played the safety role in head coach Kirby Smart's 3-3-5 base scheme, saw reps in the box and in the slot. Overall, Bowler doesn't have ideal size or length, but he is ultra instinctive and makes his presence felt at all three levels of the field. His skill set fits best as a hybrid nickel defender who can handle box duties, disguise his intentions, and drop into space. So I'm personally a little torn on Bowler. I do like him. I love the intelligence, and you can see where he just immediately at the snap starts breaking in a direction. I think the coaches would love him for that reason. I know a lot of coaches, we've talked about it before, sort of the Dean Lowry thing, right? It's more about do what I say as opposed to, I guess, doing things well. So if you're talented, but you don't know your assignment, you're useless to me. If you're but you get it, I love you and you're never going to be off the field. I think Bullard can be that guy. I think the biggest thing for me is it's sort of a round peg, square hole thing. He feels more to me like if you wanted that deep safety. Not saying he can't do it. I think it's more of a projection. He did not spend very much time at all in the box. He was mostly a deep safety, and there's a lot of really positive coverage statistics for him. Not that that's a bad thing in any way. Again, it's just sort of, if you're putting them into the two buckets and you assume that these guys aren't necessarily both, I see him more as your deep middle of the field safety. He doesn't have game-breaking speed, but none of the safeties in this class do. So he's actually sort of on the high end as far as safeties goes. I think it's mid, what is it? 4.45 or something? 4.47. The fastest was Dadrian Taylor-Demerson, 4.41. So relatively fast for a safety, I guess. I think maybe my biggest issue is going to be a value thing. If he is a, let's say he's sort of a lock second round pick, which he probably is. I know he's got a second, third round designation, but I think there are guys that you can get in later rounds that I like the value of better than Javon Bullard in the second round. I think that would sort of be my official stance on Bullard. Anyways, let's get to the guy that most people see as the number one safety in the class, and that is Tyler Newbin out of Minnesota, 6'1", 205 pounds from St. Charles, Illinois. I almost used to live there. Begged my dad. We were looking for new places to live, and it was this rundown piece of crap, but it was right on a river, and I was like, bro, I can go fishing every day. St. Charles High School was bullcrap, though. It was a bad area, bad school, bad everything. So he said, no, I mean, somewhere else, blah, blah, blah. Anyways, they do have much better football teams out in St. Charles, though. St. Charles Elgin, that's where it's at. He is the oldest of two boys. Parents Rodney and Sharice were athletes at Eastern Michigan. Played football from a young age, starting as a running back and wide receiver. He was a four-year varsity letterman, played wide receiver and cornerback in high school, helped lead his high school to his first ever state championship game, named a U.S. Army All-American. Three-star recruit, number 38 cornerback nationally. Had offers from Power 5 programs like Iowa, Michigan, and Northwestern, but committed to Minnesota because of the campus and his chemistry with the coaches. He was the number two recruit in head coach PJ Fleck's 2019 class, committed as a cornerback but moved to safety during his freshman season. Some of his strengths, broad frame, excellent range, and instincts for field coverage, known for interception skills, having led his team in this stat for multiple seasons. Versatile playing in various secondary positions and contributing on special teams. Weaknesses, some tightness in movements, could be quicker in transitions. Underwent meniscectomy surgery for his right knee post-2023 season. So he had surgery to repair his lateral meniscus post-2023 season. He missed games due to other minor injuries. Apparently, he learned how to practice and watch film from Antoine Winfield Jr. They were teammates in 2019. Teammates say he is his competitiveness is infectious and elevates the rest of the team. Newbin was an interchangeable safety, single high and split zone in defensive coordinator Joe Rossi's mixed coverage scheme. Overall, Newbin has conservative tendencies in coverage, but he is a four-down player with a coveted skill set because he has split field range, playmaking instincts, and toughness versus the run. He's ideally suited as a quarters-based cover two scheme in the NFL and will be a core special teamer. Now, that doesn't rule him out in our system. Obviously, we are not just running cover one, cover three. There's going to be a ton of quarters, cover two type stuff. But the fact that you're more of a that kind of a guy as opposed to a this kind of a guy, you know, again, it's just kind of, I think more than anything puts it into the question mark of, he's still going to be good enough to play, but is it going to be worth the value? My personal opinion, I honestly, I'm kind of all in on Newbin. Now, again, is it worth the value? I don't know. Should you expend a second round pick on him? Now, if we're talking our second round pick or third round pick, you know, part of the issue is we've got two safety in and of itself is not the most valuable position. We've already got one of the top safeties to come over to our team. We're kind of looking for that number two safety. But if you leave all of that aside, I'll just put it this way. If the Packers took Newbin in the first round, I wouldn't be mad about it. Leaving all the other stuff aside, leaving aside positional value and Xavier McKinney are already being here, just based on how good of a football player I think he is and how enjoyable he has been to watch, I think he's worth it. Compared to other guys that we've talked about as first round, he is well within that conversation. I mean, just, again, you talk about speed. None of these guys run the 40 time. At least nobody clocked a 40 time very fast. Now, Newbin didn't run at the combine. I believe his pro day numbers were pretty rough, though. It looks like it was a 4.59. I don't care. He's faster than all the other guys. He just flies. He's not afraid to hit. I just, you know, again, when you look at his RAS, the odds that the Packers take him early or at all are low, 3.67. So probably not something to be concerned about. But just based on, again, what I watched, I like him a lot. All right, why don't we take a break? We've got several more safeties to fly through, starting with number four, Cole Bishop out of Utah. We'll take a quick break. We'll be right back. We all have smartphones, and we all know they're pretty amazing, but they also can be amazingly distracting, especially when we're around other people. So U.S. Cellular wants us to reset our relationship with our phones by putting down our phones for five. That's right, a company that sells phones wants us to put down our phones. And to see what we find, learn more at uscellular.com/built for us. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
All right, Cole Bishop out of Utah, 6'2", 206, out of Peachtree City, Georgia, 21 and a half years old. Youngest of two boys, relocated from Massachusetts to Georgia. Played football from a young age, started as a running back and linebacker, switched to safety. Four-year varsity starter at high school, played a key role in his high school's regional championships. Also a standout lacrosse player. He was a three-star recruit, picked up early offers from Georgia Tech, but eventually chose Utah. Some of his strengths and weaknesses: rangy athlete with strong tackling ability and good instincts, can play multiple roles in the secondary, contributing significantly on special teams. Some of his weaknesses: some stiffness and direction change could be exploited in NFL-level man coverage. Over-aggressiveness can lead to misplays. Apparently, he occasionally played nickel linebacker in Utah's Cowboy package. He was a multi-dimensional safety and defensive coordinator Morgan Scaly's hybrid 4-2-5 scheme. He grew up a Patriots fan, models his game after Rodney Harrison. Overall, Bishop needs to put up more impact plays on tape by setting traps for quarterbacks and coverage, but he plays with top-down explosiveness and the football IQ to make plays at all three levels of the field. He has NFL starter caliber talent and is ideally suited for a robber role. For reference, Cole Bishop, 988 RAS. So he passes that test. My personal thoughts, I mean, depending on when Cole Bishop goes, he is a perfect example of what I mean by value. I have no interest in even taking a guy like Newbin in the second round if you're telling me I can get Cole Bishop in the third or fourth round. I don't know when he's going to go. There's nothing wrong with Cole Bishop for the role that we need. Again, pretty low bar. We don't have a starter right now. I'm sorry, Anthony Johnson. We don't have a starter. This dude has great size, 6'2", 207. He's just 21 years old. And really, the two things that I want to see from this guy, number one, there needs to be some level of speed. That doesn't just mean sideline to sideline, but mental processing. And he's got great hip fluidity. Again, unlike the first safety we talked about, who has to take these wide loops to get to turn around, Cole Bishop can just change direction on a dime. And what I want to see is, as soon as you see something, and this is the vision and break, as soon as you see something, and he's keeping his eyes on the quarterback, boom, he's gone. Number two thing I need to see is not just a willingness, but a desire to hit people. Many safeties play like corners. Like, I'll do it if I have to. If he's right here in front of me, I'll go for it. But if there's guys around, I'm going to kind of run in that direction and let them handle it. Cole Bishop ain't that dude. I don't care if there's already two guys on him. I'm going to come in and lay him out. I just need that, especially for what we're looking for, getting more of a strong safety type. You have to be willing, and not only willing, you have to want to do that. My only issue with Cole Bishop is he likes to throw his shoulder a little bit. I've certainly seen him wrap up, but I think he especially since he gets away with it, I don't think I saw him miss a single tackle. He has. I've looked at the stats, but he probably can get away with that too much in college, and he needs to knock that crap off because, you know, the success rate of that in the NFL is just going to go down. It looks cool when it works, but you got to wrap your arms around them and drive through them. Perfectly fine. I'm very, let's just say, very content with Cole Bishop, especially given where he's likely to be drafted. Do I think he can start day one next to Xavier McKinney? Yes, I do. Elite player? I don't know. Probably not. But the right player? Yeah. Number five, Cameron Kitchens. Let me just go out and say it right now. Don't like him. I just don't, especially since what we're looking for is more of exactly what I described, a physical, hard-hitting guy. I've seen Kitchens do it. I don't want to be too unfair, but he's primarily a cover guy. And then, you know, I think when it came out that he's not the greatest in that regard, everything just kind of started going downhill. But let's talk about him anyways. He's the number five safety listed here. I would be more or less shocked if the Packers went in the Cam Kitchens direction. I mean, depending on how hard he falls, I don't think it necessarily means he's going to be taken off the draft board, although it's possible. His RAS, I knew it was bad. I forgot how bad it was. 242 was his RAS. Good Lord. It's kind of like Rakestraw. Like, I liked Rakestraw, and I'm like, yeah, but his RAS was so bad, and it was like a 6.5 or something. That's not that bad, actually. 242. That might be a he's not on our draft board thing. That is so rough. Who knows? Maybe he's faster on the field than he was in that thing. Maybe he had a tightness in his hips. I don't know. He wasn't feeling good. He had long COVID. Who knows? But Cam Kitchens out of Miami, 5'11", 202 out of Miami, Florida, 21.57 years old. He is the oldest of six kids. His father was a collegiate athlete. His father was Marvin Chatham, played running back at Miami Jackson High School, later walked on at South Florida. He was introduced to football by his uncles at age four. He was a high school player at a high school, Northwestern, that is known for producing NFL talent. He was named an All-American in high school. He was a four-star recruit. He had major offers from Clemson, Georgia, and his hometown, Miami. Lots of other schools, Ohio State, et cetera, et cetera. Kitchens decided on a top five Auburn, LSU, Miami, Nebraska, and Texas A&M, but his many connections led him to join the Hurricanes. He was, he was mentored by former Miami safety Kenny Phillips in high school and developed close relationships with former Miami cornerback and 2011 third-round pick DeMarcus Van Dyke, who served as the Hurricanes' recruiting assistant and cornerbacks coach. Kitchens also joined his high school teammates Romello Brinson and Khalil Brantley in Miami's 2021 class and was the number 16 recruit in Manny Diaz's final recruiting class as Hurricanes head coach. Some of the strengths, strong instincts from various alignments, excellent ball tracking and tackling, led ACC in interceptions 2 years running, lacks weaknesses, lacks top-tier speed, and can be drawn out of position by complex backfield action. Injury history, missed games due to an in-game collision that required a hospitalization. My goodness. Let me back up a little bit here. Missed tackles are usually a result of him leaving his feet too early, causing him to slide off the ball carrier. Had to be carted off the field after an in-game collision and was airlifted to Ryder Trauma Center in Miami. He was released the next day but missed two games. Man, that's scary. Three-year starter at Miami, Kitchens was a field post safety and defensive coordinator Lance Guidry's scheme. Played more of a nickel role in 2022. Led the ACC in interceptions in both sophomore and junior year. Overall, Kitchens doesn't have top-tier athletic traits, but he has a well-built skill set with the playmaking awareness and ball skills to compete for a starting role in the NFL. He projects best as a split field safety with range in the post who can drive top down in two deep shells. Third round, number 79 overall. So again, I've already given my opinion. I was not a real big fan on Cam Kitchens to begin with. You add in the RAS, it's not, and you know, scheme fit. If you're looking for a guy like Kitchens, you're looking for your more, I mean, at one point it was deep safety, coverage, et cetera, et cetera. Again, that's not as though the Packers are not looking for that. It's just not exactly the mold. So there's nothing here. At number six, it is Malik Mustafa. Apparently it's not Malik. It's not Malik. It's Malik. Abdul Malik Mustafa. 5'10", 206. From Charlotte, North Carolina, 21.83 years old. He has three siblings. His father introduced him to soccer at a young age, but he started playing football at age six for the Pee Wee Titans. He later transitioned to football and played various positions throughout his youth and high school careers. As a sophomore at Ardrey Kell High School, he played cornerback and safety, collecting three interceptions, one of which he returned for a touchdown. In his junior year, he helped Ardrey Kell win the 2018 conference title and reach the 4A state playoffs. He earned all-county honors with 78 tackles, 4 interceptions, 1 forced fumble. In his senior year, he transferred to Weddington High School and helped the team achieve an undefeated 16-0 season. They won the 2019 3A state championship. He was named Charlotte's 2019 Defensive Back of the Year. In addition to football, he excelled in track, setting personal bests, blah, blah, blah. He was a no-star recruit. Interesting. Mustafa wasn't ranked by online recruiting services in the 2020 recruiting class. He did not receive any offers through his first 3 years, prompting his transfer. He received his first scholarship offer from FCS Richmond before his senior year, followed by other FCS offers from Elon, Fordham, Lafayette, Mercer, North Carolina A&T, North Carolina Central, Tennessee Chattanooga, and West Carolina. His only two FBS offers came from the service academies, Air Force and Army. He expected an offer from Wake Forest, but the program ran out of spots. He signed with Richmond, but entered the transfer portal in April 2021. Within 3 hours of entering the portal, he received a scholarship from Wake Forest, eventually committing in May 2021. Strengths: compact, burly frame, resembling a mini linebacker with packed on muscle. Excels in run support, using explosive striking power. Coaches commend his intellect and competitive drive. One coach mentioned that he often lifted weights with offensive and defensive linemen to push him. That's awesome. Has experience as a gunner and played on kick coverage teams, demonstrating versatility. Smooth in his pedal and turns, displaying staying disciplined and not committing a single penalty during his 4 years in college. That's crazy. Weaknesses: undersized, lacking ideal height and length, struggles to escape climbing blocks once they engage him, occasionally overruns outside angles, creating cutback opportunities for runners, below average on-ball production, making plays he should, but not consistently. We'll get to the injuries here. Some of the quotes: Mustafa's coaches speak highly of his competitive drive and work ethic. They note he's often worked out. Oh yeah, we knew that. Injury history: suffered a torn ACL during the 2021 bowl game, and then also missed three games in the 2022 season due to injury. Mustafa, for 2 years, was the field safety and defensive coordinator. Brad Lambert's scheme played a hybrid Panther position on third down, which was single high slot edge stunts, whatever. I don't know. Freaking. Overall, Mustafa doesn't have the tape of an instinctive ball hawk, but he is a passionate competitor with outstanding range versus the run and disciplined movements and coverage. With a skill set similar to Jordan Whitehead, he should shine on special teams coverage in the NFL and will push for defensive snaps early in his career. So my thoughts, I'm not as high as I am with Bishop, but he's super tanky. He's kind of cool because when he hits people, man, he lights them up like big time. But I just kind of wonder, especially since he's not super tall, he just looks like squared off and whatever. It just, maybe he's a little muscle bound, you know? I don't hate it. You're talking like mid to later round swing. Sure, why not? I'd take him over Jaden Hicks, I'll tell you that. I'm sorry, I just don't like him. But why don't we go ahead and take a break? We will come back and do our last three, starting with Dadrian Taylor Demerson from Texas Tech. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. All right, Dadrian Taylor Demerson, one of four kids, grew up outside of Oklahoma City. After his freshman season at Texas Tech, he added Demerson to his last name to honor his grandfather, Frederick Demerson, whom Taylor Demerson referred to as his true dad and has been in his life since birth. His mother name is Sean Taylor. He is one of four kids, originally from Oklahoma City, Oklahoma, spent some years in Tulsa, returned to Oklahoma City for middle school, attended Carl Albert High School in the Midwest City of Oklahoma, or in Midwest City, Oklahoma, that's the name of it, I guess, I don't know. Led his high school team to three consecutive 5A state championships during sophomore and senior years, achieved a 40-1 record over those three seasons. Rushed for 1,977 yards, 22 touchdowns as a junior, earned All-City All-Conference honors, named 5A Player of the Year as a senior, despite having a knee injury, lettered in basketball and track, winning the 5A state championship in the 200 meters. He was rated as a three-star recruit, number 126 running back nationally, and the number 22 recruit in Oklahoma in 2019. He was initially under-recruited due to his size. He was 170 pounds. Received interest from smaller schools, Arkansas, Pine Bluff, Missouri State, etc. Committed to Utah State, but lost the scholarship when coaching staff changed. Subsequently received a late offer from Texas Tech to play as a defensive back. Graduated from Texas Tech with a degree in university studies, whatever that is. He has a daughter named Layla Grace, who was born in March of 2022. Strengths and weaknesses: exceptional straight line speed, extensive range, solid ball skills, ability to anticipate and disrupt route combinations and adapt with foot quickness, experience in special teams with 501 career snaps. Weaknesses: below average in height, length, and bulk, raising concerns about durability. Coverage can be misled by motions and misdirection, struggles with tackling consistency. Defensive engagement sometimes result in being outmaneuvered by larger opponents. Injury history. Senior year of high school, he missed four games due to a knee injury. He missed one game in 2019 due to an injury and missed the season opener in 2021 due to an unspecified injury. Played as a free safety in Tim DeReuter's 3-3-5 scheme, playing to the field side in two high looks. He goes by the nickname Rabbit because of his field speed. Overall, Taylor Demerson is undersized and his aggressive trigger backfires at times, but his explosive post-split field range jumps off the screen and allows him to make plays on the ball and coverage and in run support. His speed and developing instincts give him starting potential as a free safety or nickel cornerback, but the rough edges in his game might never smooth out, which would keep him as a backup and special teamer. So, first of all, 8-1-1 RAS, so acceptable. He's another guy that traditionally is more of a coverage guy than your average box guy. In fact, he was in the box probably just about less than anybody else in this safety class. It was actually the second lowest out of 30. As for me personally, it's going to be a no, dog. Again, he's a coverage guy. He doesn't like to get dirty. He doesn't want to get up in the action and hit people. I get it, man. It's not your thing. That's fine. But that's what I'm looking for. That's not what you're giving me. So I'm not super in it. Next up, we have Kalen Bullock, which apparently I have been influenced by Sandra Bullock. It is Kalen Bullock, or Bullock, whatever. 6'2", 188 out of Pasadena, California. He is 20.99 years old. We're not going to call him 21 because we don't want to. Kalen Ballock, the second youngest of five siblings, four brothers, one sister, had a close relationship with his mother, Annette McDaniel, who he considers his best friend. His father passed away when Ballock was 10 years old. After moving to Palmdale in 2014, he stayed with his grandmother, Maggie McDaniels, in Pasadena to continue his schooling and football until her death in October of 2023. Originally from Pasadena, California, Ballock grew up engaging in sports at the Jackie Robinson Community Center. He played for the Pasadena Ponies. Come on. He played for the Pasadena Ponies, excelling as both a wide receiver and defensive back. He was nicknamed Superglue for his adeptness in catching passes. In high school, he attended John Marr High School in Pasadena, started on the JV team and advanced to varsity as a sophomore, making a significant impact with six interceptions. As a junior, he helped lead the team to the Southern Section Division title game, earning all division honors. Finished his junior year with 45 tackles, six interceptions on defense, 40 receptions for 914 yards. He was a four-star recruit, ranked as the number seven athlete and the number one safety in California in the 2021 recruiting class, received scholarship offers from multiple top programs, ultimately committing to USC. Strengths: fluid and fast with excellent range on field, exceptional ball tracking abilities and hands, a result of his wide receiver background. Good at positioning and tackling, showing improvement in physicality in 2023. Versatile, having played both free safety and nickel positions. Weaknesses: lean build with concerns about his ability to gain and maintain weight. Tendency to over-pursue, affecting his tackling effectiveness. Inconsistent in reading route combinations and can be misled by quarterbacks. Ballock did not miss any games due to injury during his college career. His only absence was a voluntary opt-out from a bowl game to prepare for the NFL draft. Three-year starter at USC, Ballock played field safety and nickelback in former defensive coordinator Alex Grinch's multiple scheme. Overall, Ballock is a fast... That's so hard to say. I hate saying that so much. Can I just call him Bullock and be wrong? Hey. Overall, Ballock is a fast, twitchy athlete with split field range to overlap verticals or spin to the post, but needs to play with improved discipline and control to cut down on the mistakes, specifically in the run game. Reminiscent of a leaner Trevon Moehrig, he has NFL starting potential as his game continues to develop. He is a cornerback on some NFL draft boards, third or fourth round grade. As for me, Ballock, man, I think he's actually a decent safety, to be honest, but he's just not, he's not what I'm looking for. Again, he's a coverage guy. He likes to stay back. He wants to backpedal, and he really just does not want to engage in physicality. I mean, you'll see him sometimes like just fire downhill, but then he hits the brakes and starts going into like goalie trying to stop the puck stance, you know, like, ooh, bro, hit him. Like, you fly all the way up there and then you wait for him to hit you so you can, what, grab him and fall down? Like, come on, man. But, I mean, he flies around the field. I'm a little surprised he's as far down as he is. If I was looking for a, you know, deep middle field type of guy, I feel like he's a decent enough option. But, yeah, PFF lists him as a strong safety. I'm gonna call BS on that one. All right, getting down to the final two here. Dominique Hampton, much lesser known name for sure. Safety out of Washington, 6'2", 213, a sixth-year senior out of Glendale, Arizona, 23.75 years old. He's got a 9.46 RAS. Dominique Dom Hampton, born in Atlanta, moved to Glendale, Arizona during elementary school. Youngest of two boys, his older brother DJ played safety and ran track at Mesa, Arizona Community College. Went to Centennial High School in Peoria, Arizona, four-year varsity letterman, primarily as a cornerback. Helped lead his team to state championship in 2015 and 2017. Seven interceptions, four touchdowns in his senior season. He also competed in track, placing fourth in the 100 meters and third in the 200 meters at the 2018 state championship. He was a three-star recruit, number 76 cornerback nationally, number 13 recruit in Arizona in 2018, committed to Washington after being named top defensive back at Huskies camp. Played at Washington initially as a cornerback before transitioning to safety in 2021, took advantage of an extra year of eligibility due to the pandemic, playing six seasons total, graduated from Washington, unsure in what. Strengths: physically impressive, muscular frame with balanced athleticism, effective tackler with a presence of with presence in mid-air collisions. It's quite a sentence. Versatile, having played multiple positions in the secondary and special teams, long arms used effectively in coverage and at the catch point. High caliber athlete with good field vision and speed. Weaknesses: struggled to find a consistent positional role, move frequently within the secondary, occasionally late in reacting to plays, and struggles with pursuit angles. Limited playmaking at the line of scrimmage, not effective as a blitzer, prone to undisciplined penalties, older for an NFL rookie. Injury history: in 2018, he played only 4 games, not necessarily due to injury. 2019, 2020, no major injuries. 2021, 2022, missed 1 game each year due to injuries. Specific injuries are unknown. 2-year starter at Washington, Hampton played strong safety in former defensive coordinator Chuck Morrell's scheme. He joined a loaded secondary in 2018 with Byron Murphy, Taylor Rapp, Kyler Gordon, Elijah Molden, etc. That is a wild group, man. Varying degrees of success in the NFL, but these were all like studs coming out of college. Says he moved to safety in 2021, but spent most of that season in the coach's doghouse following a taunting penalty versus Michigan. Coach just never let it go, I guess. Overall, Hampton is undisciplined with his man coverage responsibilities, but he is an impressive size speed athlete who diagnoses well from zone and is an explosive striker as a tackler. He projects as a team's third safety who can impact all 3 levels of the field and contribute as a gunner slash special teams standout. My personal thoughts on Hampton: I think he's really just a raw ball of potential. Again, 9.46 RAS. I mean, he runs a 4.51. It's not necessarily blazing speed. PFF did not care for him very much, gave him 1 game of 70 or higher. It was very much 60s across the board with, like, you know, 2 that were pretty good, 2 that were pretty bad. There are glimmers, but honestly, from my perspective, he kind of looked lost. There's a whole lot of, like, left and right, and like, he looked manic. There wasn't this smooth, just kind of boom, you know what I mean? Like, you do your back pedal and then go, and then, you know, you know where to go and you go. It just felt, But could I see the, you know, a team like the Packers say, this is an athletic guy at 6'2", 215 pounds. He's a violent football player, although I'll be honest, I didn't see as much violence as was being talked about. It made it seem like the guy was a serial killer, but he's certainly more than willing to go in and chop it up. Could I see, you know, sort of a mid to late round flyer on the guy to see if something maybe clicks? For sure. But I would be hesitant. Even when I say mid, it's like, maybe you want to talk round 5 or so at the earliest in my mind. I mean, all the tools are there, so it's hard to say it should be much later than that when you've got great height and weight and you know, everything's there. But the problem is, I don't think he starts. I think we've crossed that threshold, at least with Dominique Hampton. And, you know, there's other guys where it's not necessarily a great fit, but for Hampton, it's like, it's a fit, but I mean, Anthony Johnson in year 2 plus, you know, whatever free agents are going to be there, I don't know that he wins the job. He may, hopefully does, if he's the first safety we take, but I wouldn't necessarily have a massive amount of confidence in that. Even though I think he's got, you know, again, there were some clips that were like, okay, now you see why this guy could end up being real good. You know, one of those, you start in the middle of the field, you're basically on the other team's on the 5-yard line. They throw a little swing pass and he's able to get to the sideline and knock him out of bounds, which, number one, the speed to get there. And then the number two is to be strong enough and physical enough that the impact actually moves him out of bounds, as opposed to this guy just knocking right through you because he's running straight ahead. You're running at an angle. You know what I mean? It takes a good amount of pop to make sure he goes out of bounds instead of going in. So, you know, you see that kind of play and it's like, okay, that was nice, but it's very few and far between. Then again, every time I see that now, Dontayvion Wicks made me real nervous. It's the reason why I really like Bo Braid, because with Wicks, it was like I counted him out, and then I saw that one play that was like, what was that? And I was like, nah, whatever. It's one play, who cares? But it kind of demonstrated that he can do it. He can be that guy. But I was like, nah, it's so far, few and far between. I put a label on him that he didn't have his heart into it because he was a big basketball guy. He wanted to be a basketball star. His brother kind of pushed him into it. I was like, eh. Probably doesn't even like football. Stupid. No matter. So, you know, maybe. All right. Final freaking guy. We'll see if I do feel like doing some bonuses, but I'm not feeling super generous. Although Oladapo Beau Braid are the next two. It's like, man, stupid Dane Brugler. Why couldn't you make them 9 and 10? Number 10 is Jalen Simpson out of Auburn, 5'11 and a half, 179 pounds out of Brunswick, Georgia. Every safety's from Georgia, apparently. Also 24 years old. Jalen has a 7.4 RAS. However, his speed was graded as great. His explosion was elite. It was the agility and size, 5'11", 179, that were both poor to kind of drop him down to the 7.4 RAS. But Jalen Simpson, one of three kids, Brunswick, Georgia, located in the southern part of the state near the Atlantic coast, attended Jane Mason Middle School within the Glynn County, who gives a crap, chose to enroll at Frederica Academy, a small prep school on St. Simon's Island with an enrollment of 450 students, was a four-year varsity starter in football, beginning his career as a cornerback and then moving to quarterback due to team injuries. As a freshman, collected four interceptions, aiding Frederica Academy to a 9-2 record. Played as a quarterback in his junior and senior years, leading the team to a state championship in 2018. Played multiple sports, basketball, star player, baseball, senior year outfielder, and track, won the state title in high jump in 2019. He was recruited as a four-star recruit, the number 33 cornerback nationally, number 34 recruit in Georgia for the 2019 class, received his first collegiate offer from Ohio State with subsequent offers from major programs like Alabama, Clemson, and Florida. Shortly after an unofficial visit at Auburn, however, he committed to head coach Gus Malzahn in April of 2018. You know what I would love? Just having listened to some of these, I would love to find out what happened. Like, you're getting major offers from major programs. You go to Auburn, and the coach gives you such a good sales pitch, you're just like, boom, on the spot, let's do it. And I understand, you know, sometimes bigger schools aren't necessarily better. You can get swallowed up. You might not actually have playing time, et cetera, whatever. But I would just love to know the sales pitch, man. Simpson was the number 14 recruit in Auburn's 2019 class, same class as Bo Nix, Derek Hall, Jashawn Sheffield, who was Simpson's high school teammate and best friend. Strengths: possesses above-average athletic tools with notable speed and explosive reaction and coverage, effective in various roles across the secondary, showing versatility and leadership qualities, excellent ball skills exemplified by a 50-yard interception return touchdown in 2023. Weaknesses: lean build raises concerns about his durability and effectiveness in contact situations, struggles with pursuit angles and tackling, particularly against shifty receivers. Past injuries and size lead to concerns over long-term durability in professional play. An NFL scout described him as the life of the party, highlighting his charisma and leadership on and off the field. He did suffer from various injuries, including ankle surgery, a fractured wrist, and turf toe during high school, missed games due to a hamstring injury in 2020, and an ankle injury in 2021 during his college career. He was a one-year starter at Auburn. He played safety nickel role in former defensive coordinator Ron Roberts' man zone coverage looks. He has played for four different defensive coordinators. Overall, Simpson's inconsistencies in the run game aren't ideal for a nickel role, but his reactionary athleticism and ball hawking instincts are superb and what will drive the discussion when NFL teams put his tag on the draft board. Although he is off some NFL boards because of his size, he projects best as a versatile role player in the secondary and potential special teamer. I think there's three, or there's four Jalens. No, three Jalens, but there's also Jadens. Jalens and Jadens. There's Jalen Phillips, Jalen Key, Jalen Simpson, Jalen Carleys. So there's four Jalen safeties. Anyways, he's another one you can just count me out on. He plays like a corner. He wants to drop in coverage. He wants to go get the ball, which is all great, but he's got no interest in contact. 24 years old. PFF really doesn't like him. He had three very good games. After that, it was pretty rough. You probably won't be surprised to find out all three of those games included a pick. So he's very, like, interception dependent, which is not what I want. But I'm going to leave it at that. You all have a good rest of your day. I will talk to you tonight, tomorrow, whatever. Have a good one. Bye-bye.